This hour of the Jason Rancho is brought to you by American Crawl Space and Pest Services. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. It's time to find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
So Mayor Jenny Durkin is pretending to give a damn about the city. Well, about a neighborhood in the city. She cares about Capitol Hill. Like all people in City Hall, they care about Capitol Hill. And then from time to time, they're sitting in a meeting and someone just does a quick Google search of Seattle city limits. And they're like, Lake City? I thought Lake City was its own city. They don't have a mayor. I'm the mayor of... That includes Lake City? What?
It has city in its name. It must be its own
right?
thing.
They don't have their own council in it? Oh, okay. I guess I'll start paying attention to Lake City. Thanks, Stu, for pointing that out in the meeting. Now everyone thinks I'm an idiot. Stu, you're fired. So she decided to go over to Lake City for a town hall-style meeting. Happened over the weekend because, hey, it turns out people who live in Lake City have the same problems as the rest of Seattle.
There's still crime. There's still problems with hypodermic needles on the ground. It's important that it does get attention from the city. I think historically it has not gotten a lot of attention.
So Como 4 catches up with Mayor Jenny Durkin at this meeting, and I think they've provided for me the best succession of audio I've ever heard. Now, maybe it's a little subtle, and you won't have the laugh-out-loud moment that I had as I watched this Como 4 clip, but I legitimately did what the kids would call an LOL. Because on the one hand, she wants to tell us that, hey, I understand that I work for you. You are the boss, and I am essentially your employee.
The city government works for the people. And more these days, there's such disconnection between people and their government. And I think it's really important for us to get into communities and just listen. Listen to what's working, what's not working, how we can be better.
Okay, so what are some of the takeaways from that? City is supposed to work for you. We are supposed to listen to you, right? That was the main point. I just want to dissect this just for a moment.
The city government works for the people.
So we are in charge. You and I, the people, assuming you live in Seattle like I do, we are in charge, okay?
And more these days, there's such disconnection between people and their government.
So there's a disconnect between us and them, that we have these feelings, we have these emotions, we have these reactions, we have these ideas, and we're not able to effectively communicate that and be heard by the city of Seattle. There is a disconnect. They don't understand what it is we're experiencing because they don't live the same lives that we do.
And I think it's really important for us to get into communities and just listen.
Just listen. Get into the community. Hear what you have to say. No excuses are going to be made on our part. We are simply going to listen. And because we work for you, not only are we going to listen to you, but we're actually going to put in place policies that reflect the views of the people. Only none of that came to fruition when she was asked a question by someone who lives in the community.
What are you guys going to do to make sure that they don't get these permits to build unless they put in parking?
So I will tell you, and I know it's an answer that not everyone loves, but the first thing we have to do is actually build better transit everywhere we can.
Okay. This is phenomenal. This is fantastic. She works for you. But then she dismisses the question. She claims she's going there to hear your concerns, but then she pushes back by telling you, here's why you're wrong. Here's what we really need to do. Then they say there's a disconnect. She says there's a disconnect between what you're experiencing and what they hear and what they're doing. So rather than say, hey, I have a disconnect between the people who want more parking because it seems absurd, it seems patently absurd that we're allowed to build these new developments that house people without enough parking to accommodate, I'm not going to listen to that disconnect. I'm just going to ignore it and tell you you're wrong and push bus. Is no one else just... I'm not going to say I'm shocked anymore by this level of disinterest in what the people have to say, but I'm almost shocked that she doesn't just laugh at us while she does something like that. Like, the whole idea of a disconnect, people cannot find parking, okay? People cannot find parking in Seattle. This impacts everybody. This impacts you who come to the Seattle area for concerts, to go to restaurants, to go to shows and whatnot. I know a lot of you try to avoid Seattle as much as humanly possible, but there are times where you cannot ignore Seattle. You can ignore Seattle. If you want to ignore Seattle, you listen to the Big Local at 7:30 weekday mornings right here on the Jason Rant Show. But there are times you cannot ignore Seattle. You have to be here. And so you spend much of your time here trying to find parking, and then the parking you do find is $20 for a private lot. There is not enough parking. There is not enough parking for people who are visiting. There's not enough parking for people who live here. There's not enough parking for people who are working here. I talked last week to a city worker who I pulled aside just trying to get a general sense of how he does his job because he was parking his vehicle illegally. He goes, yeah, we cannot find parking. It's making our jobs impossible. These are people who work for the city, wasting time, spending time trying to find a parking spot, which makes their job incredibly inefficiently done. And so these people cannot find parking. And yet, moments after, a clip saying there's a disconnect with the experiences of people and what they believe, they say, oh, you know, this isn't really an issue about small. I know you're going to hate my response that I'm here only supposed to listen to you, but you're going to hate my answer, but you should just take the bus. That's what you should do. Well, how about the city worker should take the bus? Let's have all the city workers take the bus. The person I met was just a city inspector, I believe. He didn't have any tools with him. He had a belt, I think, on that maybe had a cell phone. I don't know if that's all that he had on him. He wasn't doing anything. He was just checking some paperwork. So we got a clipboard, which you can put in a bag, a tape measure or something, put in that bag, have them take the bus. Tell me if the bus is the right move for people who are working here by actually forcing your workers to take the bus themselves. Instead, what you do is you make life miserable for everybody else. You want to push everyone onto the bus except for your own employees. Mayor Jenny Durkan, do you take the bus to get to the office every day? I'm just kind of curious. And if you do, do you get a free pass for your security that's surrounding you the entire time? I'm just asking questions, Mayor Durkan. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Big picture.
Obviously, everyone is talking about the allegations by Professor Christine Blasey Ford from Palo Alto University, claiming that when she was in high school, when Brett Kavanaugh was in high school, this was over three decades ago, it was in the 1980s, that she was sexually assaulted, that there was almost a rape that was committed, in that Brett Kavanaugh held her down while his friend watched, his friend who has no recollection of this and says it didn't happen, but the friend supposedly watched him holding her down, groping her, grinding up on top of her, trying to take off her clothing, her bathing suit, her one piece. And then when she tried to scream for help, he put his hand over her mouth. Now, if it happened, it's disgusting, and he should not be a Supreme Court justice. 100% this should disqualify him. However, lots of people are wondering if it happened because of the horrible way in which the Democrats decided to exploit this. In fact, Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, Republican, calls out this exploitation.
I haven't seen the letter. As a matter of fact, I believe that the member that first received the letter was as late as July. And quite honestly, I'm shocked that the matter didn't come up in the nearly 32 hours of testimony that Judge Kavanaugh was before us in the open session, or the nearly hour and a half session that we had in a closed session. That information never came up. So when we get back to Washington this week, we'll take a look at it. But it really raises a question in my mind about if this was material to the confirmation process, why on earth over the past 4 to 6 weeks hasn't it been discussed among the committee members?
Now, doesn't that seem like a reasonable question to ask? Doesn't that seem reasonable? Regardless of your position, regardless of whether or not you're a Republican or a Democrat, regardless of whether or not you believe a attempted rape took place, push all of that aside. Is it not reasonable to ask a very simple question? If you knew about this in July and you believed that this was something that would disqualify a Supreme Court justice from taking a position, why did you not bring it up then? Why did you wait until the Friday before the week leading into this vote? Now, the vote apparently is still going to happen, that according to Chuck Grassley. It's possible that we actually hear from the accuser. Kellyanne Conway was on Fox News, said that we should take these allegations seriously.
Well, this woman should not be insulted and she should not be ignored. I think the Senate is headed to a reasonable approach in that it seems to me, in speaking to a few senators, including Senator Lindsey Graham, that allowing this woman to be heard in sworn testimony, allowing Judge Kavanaugh to be heard in sworn testimony about these specific allegations would be added to the very considerable mountain of evidence and considerations that folks will have when they weigh whether or not to vote for Judge Kavanaugh to be on the Supreme Court.
Now, what my sense is, she's going to say no to this if she follows the advice of her lawyer, who was on the shows this morning, and we'll play some audio from that later on in the show, basically saying she'll do it so long as it's quote-unquote fair. I don't know what that means, because in fairness, I'm assuming you believe that when you're questioned in a way that might try to figure out whether or not you're telling the truth, you're going to find that to be unfair grilling. And that's essentially what was implied by some of these comments by her attorney, Deborah Katz, earlier this morning. So we're going to continue this conversation later on in the 8 o'clock hour. Don't forget, I've got a blog up right now on how Sue Bird from The Storm rejected an invite to the White House that she never got. In fact, the invite was never sent. This is just another move to be anti-Trump and anti-Republican. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to the number 1-800-465-8770. I'll send you my blog, RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. You know what I hate? I hate liars. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show. I loathe people who lie, especially if they're lying just so they can seem like cooler people, like superheroes. And that's why Mark Wahlberg, I'm calling you out. Now, I love Mark Wahlberg. I love his movies. I love his movies. I always enjoy them. Even the bad ones, I tend to enjoy. I happen to really, really like Mark Wahlberg. But I don't know. I don't know if I can still be such a fan of his. Because on Instagram, he just told a whopper of a lie. Apparently, people have been asking him for his daily routine, mostly noticing that he's 47 years old now. He's incredibly fit. Like, he's stupidly fit. And he's always seems to have a lot of energy and whatnot. So people are like, what are your secrets? I'm going to do exactly what you do. Well, I think he's goofing on everybody. Because he gave out his daily routine that he calls a typical daily routine. So presumably this is when he's not shooting a movie. And he's a liar. He's a liar. He says he typically wakes up at 2:30 a.m. There's no reason to get up at 2:30. I don't even get up at 2:30 a.m. And we have a reason to get up early for this show. So he wakes up at 2:30. At 2:45, he says it's prayer time. So he's doing his daily prayers. Well, it doesn't indicate what he more than that, but good for him. 3:15, he has breakfast, okay? That's when he first eats breakfast, which is still, I'm not even up at this point. I get up at like 3:30, and I don't eat breakfast until about 4:15, 4:30, so he's already way ahead of me. From 3:40 a.m. to 5:15 a.m., would have been funny, he does a workout. That's a long workout. That's a really long workout to start at 3:40.
Yeah, well, considering it's only workout one.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Yeah.
Then at 5:30, he has a post-workout meal. At 6 a.m., he showers. At 7:30, he plays golf, which I think he must have like one of those setups in his home that's an electronic golf set.
Yeah, it could be a simulator.
Yeah, that's my guess, because he goes from 7:30 to 8, he plays golf. So let's just assume he goes with the simulator. At 8 a.m., he has a snack. At 9:30, he goes into his cryo chamber recovery, which is just, it gets you really, really cold. You're supposed to stand in there for a few minutes, and then you leave, and it's good for recovery for your muscles and whatnot.
So he snacks for an hour and a half?
No, it just says he has a snack at 8. It's possible that he goes back to playing golf.
Yeah, that makes sense.
10:30, he has another snack. 11 a.m., finally, he has time for his family. He does family time, meetings, and work calls. That all starts at 11. It ends at 1 o'clock when he has lunch. Then at 2 o'clock, he does meetings and work calls. At 3 o'clock, he picks up his kids at school. 3:30 p.m., another snack. 4 p.m., he has another workout. That's workout number 2, and he does that for an hour. Then he showers at 5. 5:30 to 7:30 is dinner and family time, and then he goes to bed at 7:30. Okay, so I go to bed at about 7:30, 7:30, 8 o'clock. I get up at 3:30-ish to 3:45. So he even goes to bed about the same time as me, and he gets up and is way more productive. He's lying. Do you believe? I don't believe this.
That's not enough sleep for a person.
You want to know what he eats? He starts out with steel oats, blueberries, and peanut butter for breakfast, then a protein shake, 3 turkey burgers, 5 pieces of sweet potato at about 5:30 in the morning. At 8 o'clock, he says he has 10 turkey meatballs. 10:30, he has grilled chicken salad with 2 hard-boiled eggs, olives, avocado, cucumber, tomato, and lettuce. Yeah, that's what's in a salad. 1 o'clock, he has a New York steak with green peppers. 3:30, grilled chicken with bok choy. Bok choy is gross. Then at 5:30, he says he has a beautiful piece of halibut or cod or sea bass with some vegetables, maybe some sauteed potatoes and bok choy. And then he has a lot of aqua hydrate during the day.
When does he film movies?
Well, this is on a typical day when he's not filming. When he's filming, he doesn't sleep at all. He still gets in his 14
workout.
Works
at night.
This is... He's lying, guys, right? Text me. 1-800-465-8770. It's the number to tax resolution hotline. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. A private security controversy in Olympia. A protest against high-paying jobs in Federal Way. It's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Tulalip Resort Casino.
Snoqualmie, Mercer Island, Des Moines.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Shoreline, Woodinville, Burien.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
The media is hyper-focused on the city of Seattle. That is what they care about. That's almost exclusively what they care about. You throw in some anti-Trump nonsense, but really, they only care about issues impacting Seattle directly because that's where they work. That's where they live. That's where they spend all of their time. Media members don't hang out in Olympia. They don't go over to Federal Way. They have no idea where those cities even are. They just know in general.
It's in Washington State, right?
And as a result, they end up ignoring and missing out on a whole bunch of really important stories. Stories that matter to you because that's where you live. So weekday mornings at 7:30, thanks to our friends over at Tulalip Resort Casino, we do something called the Big Local. That's where we talk about you and the communities you live in, and we completely ignore the city of Seattle, and few things feel better than ignoring the nonsense of Seattle. We start this morning with a group of activists protesting businesses in downtown Olympia, businesses that have decided to hire a private security company to sort of help them out with the out-of-control homelessness during the overnight times, because they're not going to be able to be there themselves to take care of their own property. And what people don't want to have happen is when they show up in the morning, have a whole bunch of homeless people camped out in front of their entrance. That could be potentially dangerous. So the Olympian reports that the Olympia Downtown Alliance contracted Pacific Coast Security. And that's what got the activists all mad. We're going to try to get someone from the Olympia Solidarity Network, or OLISOL. That's how they shorten it. We're going to try to get someone on because their outrage is misplaced. Their claim is that having the security be there doing this kind of work with the homeless folks is unethical and discriminatory because it's targeting the people who are sleeping in these alcoves in front of the businesses. So they wrote a letter to the businesses in protest, and there's a little bit of an implied threat in all of this. They're saying you need to cancel their contract or further action will be taken. They write, "The repeated displacement of our unhoused neighbors from downtown only serves to further traumatize and endanger a vulnerable population." Uh-huh. Just real quick, and I'll ask this if they come on the show. I'll happily ask them this. The people who signed on to this, how many homeless people do they have living in their home? Did they give up their couch to the vulnerable and endangered community? Did you give up an alcove in your home? Because maybe you don't want them living in your house. What about your backyard? What about your front yard? What about your porch? Can they live there? Because presumably the answer is going to be no. Now, they might lie and try to call my bluff and say, "Oh, yeah, of course. I got dozens of homeless people living in my house right now." Which, of course, that's a lie. But I'm going to ask once we have them on, and maybe I shouldn't give my trick question, but this is how confident I am in them not listening to conservative talk radio. I'm just going to ask them on the radio, live, "What's your address? Give me your address. We will put out the address, and we will connect homeless people with you." Now, if you don't want to do it on air, give me your address off air, and I will work with some homeless advocate groups in Olympia, and we'll tell them that you've got a bed available, because I don't want people living out on the street. The difference is, you apparently do. You're okay with people living out on the streets. I'm not. I'd prefer they not sleep in alcoves. You want to know why? Because that's living out on the streets, and that's demeaning and dangerous. I'd rather them live on beds in shelters. There are shelter beds available all across the state of Washington. Will they have to be inconvenienced a bit? Maybe. But you know what's better than living out on the streets? Being inconvenienced. I'd rather be inconvenienced and in a bed than living out on the streets. So they're threatening, oh, if you don't cancel your contract, you're going to face further action. This is an organization that likes to put public pressure on businesses in order to get their way, because otherwise they can't win any arguments. And I don't think they're going to get their way in this. I don't think the businesses are going to budge much. The security guards, who, by the way, are not armed, they're just wearing polo shirts with their logo on it. They don't really do anything with the homeless people either. They just ask them to leave if they're sleeping or staying on private property and say, hey, we're going to give you some time to gather up your stuff. We're going to need you to leave. If they don't leave, that's when they call the police. They're not like shaking people, throwing them into the streets, kicking all their personal belongings into the street. Get out! Get out, you! Get out! Get. They're not doing that. They're approaching this politely and civilly. And if you don't like that, how about this? You should go with these patrolmen, with these security guards, and every single time you find someone sleeping where they're not supposed to be, you can offer them access to your own home. That seems like a happy medium for me, right? That seems like a good compromise. I can. Do you endorse that compromise?
Sure.
Right? That's it, right? That's, yeah. You don't want them sleeping on the floor in the street? Cool. Okay. You got a couch. You got a bed. You've got your own apartment. Have them sleep there. Text me if you disagree, if you don't think that's a good compromise. I think it's a great compromise. You think they're going to come on the show and talk about it? 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. 1-800-465-8770. Meanwhile, there's a protest over wages. It's happening in Federal Way. It's happening across the street from the Sam's Market on South 312th Street. The Federal Way Mirror reports the Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters, PNRCC, they're mad that a construction company down there, it's Washington-based, it's called Meteor Construction. They're mad because they say that this company is paying their carpentry workers less than the standard wages in the industry, which, by the way, is not a crime, just because, but okay. They say that they're paying, quote, less than fair wages, which, of course, is nonsense. The claim from, let's just go with these protesters for a moment, the contractors, protesters. The claim is that the folks there are being paid anywhere from $18 to $28 an hour. That seems rather fair to me. Right? So the term fair, and then when you put it in front of the term wage, fair wage, doesn't mean anything. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. Fair wages are the wages that you could get in the market and have gotten into a contractual relationship to receive. Right? You can't go below the minimum wage. So that would be unfair and illegal. But technically, anything above the minimum wage is fair wages. Now, if they're able to hire people at $18, it means the wage is right. If they're not able to hire someone at $18, for a variety of reasons, including, by the way, that maybe it's not a fair wage, then the number is wrong. And you know what happens? Two things. One of two things happens. Well, one of three things. Well, I'm going to go with a third. Number one, they don't fill the spot at all, and they're forced to raise the wage, right? We can't find anyone for 18, let's do 19. Oh, can't find anyone for 19, let's do 22. Oh, we've got a whole bunch of people. Okay, so now we know 22 is that starting wage. So that can happen. Number two, they don't hire anyone, and they give that work to other people who are currently working there, and maybe you give them a small increase in salary. So let's say you're already making $20 an hour for that work. They say, okay, we're going to have you do this job too. We'll do $24 an hour or $30 an hour. That's still a savings, right? At $30 an hour instead of $22, that's a $12 an hour saving. So that's already a saving. Or number three, you hire someone to work illegally and you work under the table, which we don't want to have happen. So one of those three things can happen. The first one will happen if these protesters are correct, but it turns out they're not correct. Meteor Construction says the protesters are flat out wrong with some of the data that they're putting out there. First of all, the pay is $20 to $30 an hour, doesn't start at $18. And they say we offer a whole bunch of benefits. We've got medical, dental, vision. 95% of that is paid by the employer, by them. And yet still, Pedro Espinoza, who's a member of this carpenters group, he said that the benefits aren't good, that it doesn't allow you to add family members on the plan, that it's super expensive, and so a lot of the money that they are making, which is already unfair, is going towards that. So I'm going to side with Medier Construction on this. Now, if they're lying, they're lying. It doesn't matter to me. Because you know what? A fair wage is what you can get in the market. If you do not want to work there, you know what you should do? I'm going to give everybody just 4 seconds to answer that question before I ruin the by answering, okay? What should you do if they're not offering you the wage that you would like? 1, 2, 3, 4. Get another job! If apparently the standard for this kind of work starts at $22 or $20, whatever it happens to be, that means you're going to be able to find another job that offers that, if that's true. So if you're worthy of the extra pay from $18 to $20, whatever it happens to be, you should go work for that company. I mean, it's really that simple. Go work for that company. If you can't find that other job that pays that rate or is willing to pay you the rate, number one, maybe it's not a quote-unquote standard wage. And number two, maybe you're not a good enough employee to warrant that, but you might be able to warrant that $18 job over at this other place, which will then give you a whole bunch of expertise, experience in this world. So then you can go ahead and demand, well, you know what? I've been doing this for a decade. I know what it is I'm doing. I've been on a ton of job sites. I've been working my tail off there. I learned a lot. I can make this job go a little bit faster. But you know what? It's going to cost you a little bit more. Yeah, you can go ahead and hire that kid for $18 an hour. Or you can hire me, an expert, for $26 an hour. It's so weird how that works. Now, generally, the contractor won't come back and say, oh, well, I can't pay you that much. That's against the standard wage across the industry. So, you do realize that that argument hurts you just as much as you think it's helping you. It's absolutely ridiculous. Text me, 1-800-465-8770 if you agree or disagree. Let me know. Text 1-800-465-8770. It's the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram. I've been doing some stories on Instagram asking poll questions and doing sort of an Ask Me Anything. If you want to ask me a question, just follow me, add me on Instagram under Jason Rantz, J-A-S-O-N-R-A-N-T-Z, and then just go look at some of my video stories in which you're able to ask me anything.
Ask him anything at all.
Literally anything. I won't answer everything, but you get to ask me anything.
It shouldn't stop you.
Yeah, well, I'll answer pretty much anything. Lots of people were wondering why it is I'm single. Like an unusual amount of people saying, wait, are you single? Why are you single? Is it hard to date in Seattle? All these things.
It
just made me feel depressed.
Are they coming on to you? Or?
No, I think they're just trying to make me feel depressed about the fact that I'm single. It made me feel really bad, but I'll still do it anyway. Go to Instagram and just add Jason Rantz. You can also go behind the scenes of the show with all the photos and videos we take. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. We are live at the Online Trading Academy studio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Ooh, the WNBA fans, the Storm fans, they're not happy with me again. They're tweeting at me. If you want to hear why they're so mad, read my blog. Text the keyword Rantz, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. 1-800-465-8770. A review panel gave a new final estimated cost for the International Arrivals Unit at SeaTac. The new cost is $968 million. It's up from $608 million. So it's $300-plus million over budget. The project is now 8 months behind the original schedule. And the question as to why, I suppose it depends on who you ask, but really a fair assessment of this is that the scope of the project changed. The scope of the project changed. They asked for more than they originally wanted, and that, of course, is going to make it a little bit more expensive. And it's, of course, going to push forward the timeline. And I'm not mad about that, and I totally understand that. I guess there's been a little bit of a back and forth with a contractor about who's been responsible for this. How about we just say everyone's responsible? Now, let's actually do what we should have been doing the first time, which is have a tighter hold on what's going on at SeaTac, and then move forward and build this thing because it's absolutely necessary. But one thing, folks, maybe someone over at the Port of Seattle is paying attention. Maybe they're paying attention to this story right now. Could you please, for the love of all that is holy, as you are putting this $1 billion almost addition for international arrivals there, could you also give us the ability to plug in our phones? Like to juice up our phones? Would that be possible? I would really, really, really appreciate that. because that's really all that I want. That's all that I want. I don't even need a place to sit, although I can never find a place to sit. I definitely can't find a place to sit near any of the outlets, but I've gone through most of the airport. I've flown a ton of different airlines there. I've done Alaska, I've done Southwest, Delta, British Air, and I can't seem to find a place to sit, nor can I find a place to sit that's near a jack. And by the way, when I find, or an outlet, when I finally find that outlet, you give me no juice whatsoever. You barely maintain my battery at 82% or 56%, wherever it is. I never actually get my battery juiced up more than what it is. It just maintains. And so I think to myself, obviously, they're not giving you the full amount of power that they can. I don't know why they don't do that. I'm sure there's some dumb FCC rule, or they're going to pretend that they care about the amount of money that they're spending on this kind of stuff. Like their electric bill is already high enough. We don't have to. But you would be making all of our lives so much better on the flight if you allowed us to juice up our phones before getting onto that plane. Because then, depending on how long the flight actually is and how low our battery already is at the time, then we're on this flight. Let's say it's 6 hours long. Let's say you're going to D.C. or New York or something. And then you're looking at your flight, your phone, and it's like you're at 47%. Well, now for 6 hours, you're wondering, am I going to lose my juice on my phone? And I'm just trying to use it so I can be entertained for this flight. I'm listening to a podcast. I'm listening to music or whatever, a book on tape.
And it's really necessary that it be charged when you arrive at the place.
Exactly.
So that you can get your Uber or whatever.
It's so absurd. And yet they're putting $1 billion into this new facility. I never hear anybody talking about this one aspect that would make everybody's life easier. If you told me you weren't really going to impact the lines much, I'm still going to wait in a long line. But you've given me access to a whole bunch of outlets that actually work. I'm going to be a little bit less annoyed by the bad line. I am. You've got to, mostly because I know that there are cases in which you don't really have control over the line. Yes, you can do things to mitigate the line. Yes, you can do it to make it a little bit faster because they're only doing this new international arrivals scene facility because there's so many people who are coming to see. So I get that. And I'm going to be as patient as humanly possible. You've got my patience up until a point. Obviously, I'm not doing 2 hours in line. That's ridiculous. But you've got me to a point. I'm willing to be more forgiving for some of that stuff that I think that you have less control over versus something you have total control over, which is to give me an outlet to plug in my phone. And no one seems to have an answer as to why they don't do it correctly. Why do they don't do it the way that most of us would do it if we were in charge? And I don't know, is this the airlines doing or is this SeaTac's doing? I'm guessing it's SeaTac, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is.
But
they're just not doing it.
It's every airport.
It's almost every airport. It's not every airport. It's almost every airport. I've seen in Europe, I've not had this kind of problem. In Europe, they give you the outlets that work, that juice up my phone, and I can use it at the same time. That's been my experience in Europe. So I don't know why it is we don't do that here in the United States. No one ever seems to have a legit answer.
You could travel with a power strip.
But that doesn't do anything because still the power going into your phone is nothing.
Yeah.
Just trickles in. You plug into the stupid seating system over at Alaska. It does nothing. It's maddening. 1-800-465-8770.